Welcome to the Stabcast, a podcast dedicated to Star Wars Legion.
No one's ever really gone.
Welcome, cadets and commanders, to the Stabcast, the Sunsphere Tactical Attack Brigade's Star Wars Legion podcast. I'm Ryan Silencer Flipping Slowoski, joined with Ben Lampshade Robot Fowler and Tim Helmet Soldering Hannon. How are we doing this evening, gentlemen?
Doing good, doing good. How you doing?
Doing fine. Can that little lampshade robot get any smaller? Like, compared to R2, he's super tiny.
Yeah, I don't think he can. This actually, like, if we can take a break here before we even get started.
Yes.
This may be the first time we get to be the cutting news podcast.
Ooh, that's true.
That's true.
That's true.
Like, we may be the first ones to talk about the trailer and then not really talk about it anymore in the episode.
Excellent.
But yeah.
I'm so proud. This week on Stabcast, battle reports, Imperial Officer Candidate School, a glance at the new rules, new units, and much more.
So, I have not gotten to play a whole ton of Legion this week. A bunch of guys were out of town this past weekend for an X-Wing event, but I did get one cool game in with our good friend Landon, and we both fell into a bit of a trap. A trap that I feel is a little far too common in Legion, but let's face it, it's a trap we don't want to go away anytime soon. And that's like new unit syndrome, to where you focus on A, your own new units way too much, and you focus on your opponent's new units way too much and just blow them away so they don't get to practice with them. So I got to play Landon. I had my good buddy Chase from Nashville snag me an X-34 Landspeeder from Adepticon while I was playing. And for Landon, it was his first time putting Krennic and Death Troopers on the table. It was my also first time getting to actually play against them. And holy cow, man, did we both just screw the pooch on how these units got played.
Yeah, I watched this game. It was amazing how things didn't go the way they should.
I looked over a little bit. It sounded chaotic. Didn't sound good.
Like, Ryan, we do a podcast about this game. I'm like, what are you doing? Oh, that's going to be bad.
Hold on. Most of mine was, like, there were some bad ideas there. I'm not going to defend all of it. But I had some garbage tier dice. You were there. You saw it happen.
I did.
Okay. But yeah, no, I did make some misplays. My X-34 died in two turns because it didn't roll a single block the entire game. It was very sad. I had Leia inside it, and so she blew up and fell into a piece of light cover with one hit point left. Landon had his Death Troopers and Krennic. He had one set of Death Troopers propped up onto this outcropping and another set hidden behind this kind of barricade of heavy stone that was heavy cover form that gave him line of sight onto the intercept towers as we were playing intercept transmissions. And he never really wanted to move them forward. I lost Jin and Leia and my Landspeeder by the end of turn three. He poked Krennic out at one point to try to give an order to somebody, and my snipers just jumped on him and killed him because Landon didn't know what to do with a white defense die. And it was just a bucket of hot garbage. There's not a whole lot tactically advice that I can give, but then this is how we have to learn with new units. And with the meta always changing and new stuff always coming out, you always got to be in mind to not only play with like 20% of your list new at a time. If you're wanting to learn, you're wanting to experiment, have 80% of your list be stuff that you know how to use and you know how to be effective with. I didn't really do that. I had this big expensive X-34 Landspeeder. I had Jin in there because I just kind of wanted to put her on the table. And I knew we didn't have a lot of time. I didn't end up winning that game because while Landon's Death Troopers did a lot of work, he never brought them out from behind their cover. And when we were playing intercept transmissions, he didn't come out soon enough to try to challenge my more aggressive positions. And our clock ran out, aka the store closed, and we had to kind of call it there and pack up and go. The other great thing that got me the game is hide your snipers in bushes to where your opponents just forget about them. And when they're the only ones scoring objective towers, and your opponent just forgets to shoot them, it's pretty, pretty great. It was just a absolute garbage show from start to finish. And if it were within the rules of the game, neither one of us probably should have won.
Oh no, you absolutely shouldn't have. So this is the same night. Traffic was terrible. Our game store moved about a year ago, and to get into it's a little bit harder, not much harder, But when traffic is bad, it's bad. So it took me an hour and a half to cross town. I showed up ready to play, and there's an uneven number. And I didn't get there till 6:30. Store closes at 9. It's real difficult to snap out that game in 2.5 hours, even if we started the moment I got there. So I'm just watching Ryan and Landon play, and I'm like, oh God, Ryan, oh, this is dead. Like, I'm there when Leia dies and the X-34 and Jin goes. I'm like, well, Landon, good luck on that. I'm headed to the house. You can fill me in later. And Ryan texts me. He's like, yeah, I won that game. I was like, excuse me?
Yeah.
I was also surprised, and I stood next to him for the whole time.
Yeah, well, Tim was mostly concerned with his terrible, terrible dice game as well. But
We don't have to talk about that game.
That's I didn't get to watch anything. But Tim and I did get to stream Arch Enemy the podcast there on Twitch in the Invader League. So that was a thing. I got to make fun of him for quite a while. Many things happened. I supported his opponent, Rilesman. It could have been anybody's game there, and there are some interesting key mistakes. If you're looking to watch gameplay and figure stuff out,
yes.
Go watch that video. Watch the last half hour or so.
Yes, especially watch the after the gameplay stops and we interview with them with the players. That's interesting insight there.
Interesting insight. So I haven't actually played anything. I've watched a lot of Legion, which really I think is becoming my calling card throughout the show.
And I do want to say, isn't Rilesman a friend of the show? Wasn't he put into the season 1 group stage with like me, you, and Brett?
Oh yeah, earlier, oh yeah. We've all played Rilesman. Like I said, he's really he actually said that like I knew like I could hear you guys commenting on my game, going, "Oh man, Rilesman's really messed this one up." He's a great guy to talk to. We had a lot of fun with him.
Yeah, it was a blast.
Go watch that on Twitch.
Speaking of Invader League, I got to play my first, and so far, sadly, my only Invader League game. It's my first time in there. This is season 3 of Invader League. Real quick, for those that don't know what the Invader League is, it's a free tournament put on through the Legion Discord. It's played over the tabletop simulator, and this just lets people from all over the world play together. So right now, we're in the beginning stages in the group stage. So we all have a total of 6 games. You got 6 people in your group, and everybody has to play everybody. And you have to do so by, I think it's like May 5th or something like that. And so, again, I've only gotten 1 game in so far. I've been trying to get some more in, so hopefully I can get some more in next week, have more to talk about next time. So I played against the wonderful Mr. Endline. We had so much fun, even if we might have messed up a couple rules. We played on the Kessel map. We played Intercept. We played Battle Lines. He had Veers, a speeder bike, Boba, some troopers with DLTs, and the extra men, and an AT-ST with a grenade launcher. I had Veers as well, with some storms and DLTs, naked storms, a sniper team, Boba, Bosk, and the shiny new tank with the surge to hit pilot, with the spindle gun that gives you 3 extra whites and a red die at range 4. He was a fairly new player, and he was also new to TTS. So again, we had a lot of learning going on, but we had a lot of fun. There were, again, a couple little mistakes, but we were making it on both sides, I think. We just had a blast. The tank did really solid against AT-ST. I was kind of happy to have this in my first game, because I could try it out, see how it goes. In the end, I won. We called the last round, but all he had left was his Boba and no victory points. So it was almost a table, and he was fine with calling that there. Now, there was some discussion, I will say, that I made a mistake when shooting Veers with Boba's rocket, and I was accused, some may say slandered, after the game by the streamers, that I had cheated and that he was at range 2, not 3. So I lived the whole next night and day in shame and defeat and just in sadness. Even though I had won, I was still ashamed. However, I went back, I watched the review, he was in range 3, I am vindicated. And if you don't believe me, I've saved the picture to my phone. I'll happily share it with you. He was range 3, ladies and gentlemen. He was range 3. But really, it was quite a fun game. Can't wait to play more. It's been a blast co-hosting several of the casts, like Ben said. And then we've had some other co-casters in there, too. And just been a great community to be a part of. Been really fun to watch. Almost as much fun to watch as it is to play, really. And so thank you for all the co-hosts. Thank you to all the viewers. If you're curious about this whole league and this Legion Discord, I really encourage you to watch some more of it. We have a whole bunch of different Twitch streams going on. There's actually one going on right now as we're recording. I just saw it pop up. Maybe you can get in on next season. Remember, this game's only been around for just over a year, and we're already up to season 3. So we do it fairly quickly. So if you want to just jump in there, it's just the Star Wars Legion Discord.
Well, speaking of our social media, also take a look at our Instagram, where we get these photos of things. Sometimes I take photos, sometimes other people take photos. We post the things that we do. You want to see Tim's actual vindication? I'm sure he'll post that to Instagram just for you.
That's right. That's right. The truth will win. And while you're looking at that, you might as well look at our Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all those things all at once. You can rate us on iTunes. On all those different platforms, we are at SW Stabcast. And on Twitch as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Please do stop down on our Twitch channel sometime. I'm trying to get more and more frequent. The Invader League is definitely helping with either me streaming there or Tim's stream being hosted there or Ben hijacking our stream at random intervals.
It's pirate radio, sir.
Yeah.
Pirate radio.
Yes. You can find us there, or you can swing by teespring.com/stores/stabcast for some cool Stabcast t-shirts. Help support the show that way. If you've got any questions that you want answered on the show, send them to swstabcast@gmail.com. Any feedback or critiques is always welcome. Be sure, like Tim said, to check out the Discord server and let us know where you guys are playing Legion. People have been a little quiet on that front, and we want to always be shouting out stores to try to connect players to local play groups. So send us some pictures, send us some info about where you play Legion, what nights you play on, and we'll see if we can get you guys connected with some new players.
Because we know that you guys are listening, because we see often that we are ranked at least in the top five of all the podcasts. Yeah. So, you know, that's we right. know you're listening out there.
I mean, we can't even say we're not even the most irregular podcast anymore. That's
exactly.
That's Critical X's job
that's
now.
That's progress. Ooh.
I'll throw the shade.
The shade.
And now we've got some news from the HoloNet.
Oh, my goodness. So, as you all know, I'm an Imperial Assault player. Well, that game is now dead, but I was an Imperial Assault player. Love the campaign, and I love my dewbacks. Probably the second best paint job I ever did on Imperial Assault Mini. So I was super excited to hear that FFG was releasing these. I like them. I've got some concerns. They have a ton of keywords. They're 90 points. They're built like ATRTs, but they only come with a melee weapon. Now, it's a cool melee weapon. It's suppressive. It throws 6 dice. You throw tenacity on that bad boy because you're probably going to get shot before you get there. You're probably going to end up, you know, dealing quite a bit of damage in melee. But you start creeping up points when you add a gunner who sits on top. Cheapest one is 10 points, and it's 4 white dice. And we know how white dice work. They mostly fail. Now, if you roll like 12 of them, well, then, you know, that's something different. But you'd only roll 4 here. I like it. Tim's about to say, hey, listen, but they got a big base. They can move quick.
But they have a big base. They can move quick. They can do
yeah,
it.
Sure
I think they will make it. I think you got Spur on there. I think you're doubting. All haters going to hate. Dewback's going to dewback.
Yeah.
Maybe so.
And their speed isn't such a huge, because I honestly think they'll be faster than ATRTs because of that relentless keyword. You cannot undersell that relentless keyword.
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially with the fact that we do know they will have a flamer option. We can kind of see it in the card spread. We don't know how many dice it'll add. We don't know what its point cost is going to be. But that relentless keyword means I really think you'll be able to get these guys into battle on turn 2.
Well, and also, plus, I see a lot of people talk about, well, they're kind of weak. You know, they don't surge on defense. Okay, and they only have armor 1. But I think what people are failing to do is they're failing to put 2 and 2 together. You have armor 1 plus a red defense die. Yeah, you don't surge, but it's still a red defense die with armor 1. I think those two things together, I think it's still going to be really hard to kill.
And there's a lot of maps, not all maps, but there's still a lot of maps out there where there are going to be things that give you cover.
Right.
So you're going to have armor 1 on top of some kind of potential cover to guard your approach. Right. So I think these guys are going to be really strong. They're going to be, like Ben said, they're going to be expensive. They're going to come out to around the 120 point range. But I think they'll be able to make up for it. And man, that melee attack with tenacity.
That's going to be gross.
Where else can you get 7 dice? Who cares what color they are? 7 dice after a double move.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm excited.
With critical 2, so you're going to throw some crits in
plus
there.
Plus search to hit.
And suppressive.
Plus
yeah, they're gonna be strong.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're I think they are appropriately costed. Now we'll have to see where the other weapons lie, but I think they're pretty cool. I'm excited.
But
to
see they don't dice. Have sharpshooter like the Tauntauns. Tauntauns are better.
Tauntauns only have 2 dice.
It's because of the sand.
2 dice per model.
This is the sand. It's just because it was coarse. It got everywhere. Just ruined everything.
So Ryan, what are you talking about tonight?
Let's be real. We don't care about dewbacks. The general is here.
Hello there.
And he says, hello there. Yeah. We have a spoiler from Star Wars Celebration, Obi-Wan Kenobi. We saw a bit of his card. Actually, we only saw the title of his cards and it was coming. This is the first time we got to see it. There wasn't even a hint of it in the article. We just knew he was coming. And man, is he a boss.
Yeah, he is.
He's expensive, but he may have the most keywords out of any commander. Clocking in at, what, 5?
Yep.
Jin may come close with all the nonsense that she does. 6.
She does have a lot of nonsense.
He's got 6.
But yeah, he's got 5, and they're all things I guess get defined on the back. Because
yeah.
He's got 6.
Well, he's got jump 1.
Yeah. If you count jump.
Charge. Yeah. Guardian 3, which I'll talk about here in a minute. Me and Tim disagree on that. Immune Pierce. So, you know, you have a lightsaber. We think that's pretty stock standard now. Master of the Force 1. Sora Su Mastery, which is a new deflect keyword that just says when defending or using Guardian, you can use basically deflect. And unlike deflect, you can use it in melee combat, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
Has a red defense die, a lightsaber that is red, red, white, white, black, black, critical 2, so he converts 2 surges to crits, impact 2, pierce 2. But much like his apprentice, no surges anywhere to be found.
Yes.
Nope. Other than that crit 2, which we'll talk about a little bit later in the show, which is a pretty good thing. But yeah,
yeah.
No actual surges,
yeah.
No defensive surges, no offense surge other than that.
But as a Vader fan, that mastery right there, that gives me pause. Because, you know, you assume, like, again, if I'm playing against Luke, I run in, I hit Luke, ha ha ha, I'm in melee. If you can return my shots in melee, I'm scared. Mm-hmm. I might be immune to Pierce, but yeah. I'm still scared. I'm not stupid.
Yeah. I think at least for me, I was a little surprised not to see either defensive or nimble on him, but this seems like a cool compromise to give him something flavorful and unique that we haven't just seen on other cards already.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I really like it. I really do. And I think it's going to fit him. If you take the Guardian, which I think is what we're about to have that argument.
Yeah,
it's great to be able to deal damage while someone is shooting at somebody else. Did you shoot my friend? Sword to Master. I mean, now you had to spend a dodge token to get it, but that's really good.
Yeah, it is. Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Guardian, as the Chewie player of the group here, have you put Chewie on the table yet, Ben?
Yes. I kept him at range just enough to... he knows he did damage for me. I did. Okay. They shot him instead of everybody else, so I never used my Guardian. But I put him on the table.
So, as I guess I'm the only one who's kind of used to using Guardian regularly, putting Guardian on your commander to take hits for your scrubs when he's only got 6 wounds and the same defense die as your core troopers, like, who's he really guardianing here? It gives me some pause.
Another commander?
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe guardian for another
Captain
commander.
Captain Rex?
Or if you're, for whatever reason, if your squad's in a clutch spot, if you need that squad to survive, you do it. You take the hit. That could be a game winner. You never know.
It could. I don't know. It feels a bit out of place. But I think the most interesting thing about Obi-Wan's stat line here is what we see on the left side of his card. We were talking about this a bit before the show, but we now have 3 major force users, if we will, or what I'm going to call like battle, big kind of nuking commanders,
right.
Invader, Luke, and Obi-Wan.
Right.
And they all have a different outfit of abilities and trainings they can take, where we've got Vader, who's got nothing but the Force. We've got Luke, who has a little bit of Force, but he has a gear slot, which none of these other commanders have. And Obi-Wan's got 2 Force, a gear, and a training slot.
Yeah, that's
that training slot is going to be super interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Whether you want to put... I see 2 cards you can put there. Hunter and Tenacity.
I was going to say, I see Tenacity all day, but I could see Hunter as well.
Yeah, Hunter and Tenacity, I think, are 2 viable options here. The only Tenacity gets you an extra red, but that extra reroll when you're rolling such an inconsistent dice pool in red, red, black, black, white, white, with no surges, getting to reroll those white dice could be pretty doggone helpful.
Yeah, I think it'll be really cool.
We were talking about saber throw with Obi-Wan.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's really, I think it's good. gonna be I think it's going to be pretty strong on him.
Oh, yes.
I think it's going to be pretty strong. So, but yeah, and Master of the Force. I think now that I'm sitting here thinking about it, I'm starting to like Guardian a little bit more. And well, you kind of got to get a little technical with it. And basically, you need to go with Obi-Wan early. And the way I personally like to play is I like to go later in the round with my commanders. Right. But if you go early with Obi-Wan, get that dodge token off and get him engaged in melee, hopefully with somebody that's already activated. Ooh. And then he can Guardian while he's engaged and spend that dodge token without any fear of reprisal.
I like that. And honestly, as with a Sorcery Master, you don't really care. I mean, if they try to attack you while in melee,
right?
If they try to hit you in the face, there's a healthy chance you deal more damage to them.
Right. Yeah,
that's right.
So I think if you go with him early, and then Guardian can be good. I just usually like to leave my heavy hitters towards the end, unless it's Luke and like the Son of Skywalker.
Sure, that's fair.
But Tim, we got more news. What else is there that's at the bottom of the roller coaster hill? Yeah, we got all the excitement from Obi-Wan.
Speaking of cool compromises, it's a Neato Imperial Shore Trooper. They've washed up, and here they are. I think they'll have a place. I'm curious how having a blend of a red defense die and a black attack die with no surge will work. I think it is good. I think it could be good in the right spot.
Yeah.
I wouldn't fill my list full of them because they're so expensive. But again, I think if you're especially where I think this fits a nice little bubble is when you need to have some cores in there and you don't want just a Stormtrooper with a DLT, which is not bad either. But maybe you want a little bit something extra. I think it's going to help fill in that gap. But you also don't want a Snowtrooper maybe for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So I think it gives you, you know, I'm all about some tactical versatility. I think it gives you some good versatility. I'm excited for that mortar. I want to see what that mortar do.
That mortar, I don't know what it does, but yeah. That model looks awesome.
Exactly. I'm excited
for it. It looks like it's just two black or white dice, range 1 to 4, critical 1.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's cool.
Yeah, I'm excited for it.
Yeah, and I think it's 36 points, but that's a pretty good little model there.
I want to be throwing around some extra suppression with that sucker. And yeah, I'm very curious to see how these do. I'm not sold on them, but I'm also not hating on them. I am on the fence. Perhaps you could say I'm on the shore. Well, I don't know if I'm going to be on land or if I'm going to be all wet. One of the two.
I think it comes to the same place that their rebel counterparts come to. You're paying for that training slot.
Yes.
And if you've got something you really want to do with that training slot, great, take them. If not, they really only have that target one keyword and then one extra die face on their attack pool.
Right.
And that's in and of itself not worth the up in price. But if you have a cool training and there's a cool combo you want to pull there, I can see it be worth it.
It's that coordinate emplacement trooper.
Yep.
You give one token to them. You give another token to somebody else when issuing orders. You're cleaning out your bag a lot faster.
Yep.
And for 52 points, they're 4 points more than snowtroopers, but they're throwing black dice at range 1 and 3.
Exactly. Yeah. I was going to say, I still like them.
With a red defense die.
I could see throwing a squad in there. No problem.
So now, this is where things get a little bit different for our, you know, we talked about the Rebel Vets two episodes ago. Is the coordinate emplacement trooper better on them because the E-Web is more mobile?
Yes,
than the
pizza gun?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, yes.
Hands down, no problem.
Because I got to keep the guy next to the pizza gun because you have to be at range one in order to coordinate.
Yeah.
You have the shore troopers march up with an E-Web. That's a dangerous flank right there. That's a whole flank that you have to be concerned about.
Mm-hmm. And I can see that they're kind of like FFG is trying to get you to use Sentinel on them. Like that's why the card comes in the pack. Because then
Overwatch.
You can... Overwatch, yeah, sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. To give you Sentinel so you can be range 3 standby.
Right.
I mean, that's what they want to gear you up for.
Yeah.
But those two guys sitting at, you know, having Sentinel, so they're standby at range 3 with a, you know, with an E-Web in that, that's kind of gross. Yeah. I don't know if I want to go over there now.
Well, and here's the other cool thing you can do is it's thematic. If you drop them two of those with two E-Webs and Krennic's 2-pip card, you just ordered 4 units.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely, I think, like I said, I think it's got some cool combo opportunities. I just don't know what they are all going to be yet.
And the other crazy thing you can do is with the way Krennic's 2-pip works, whether it be the E-Web or the Mortar, when you order them and they pass that token along, you get to choose, after you're done ordering everybody, two core or two infantry units to give standby tokens to. So you could even give those standby tokens to the E-webs that you coordinated.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That should be cool.
Oh, yes. I'm looking forward to giving them a shot.
And let's just be real honest. These are now Imperial troopers. I don't have to paint white. I can be dingy off-colored. I can accidentally dirty it up with my wash. Yep. And be like, oh, it's okay. They were already dirty to begin with.
Ben, I want to see you put seaweed on someone's helmet.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. A little seaweed right here. Bump.
And that's the third sushi restaurant that Ben gets kicked out of.
I was gonna say, kids, that's not a euphemism.
All right. So that's the news. If anything else gets announced tomorrow from when we're recording this at the Star Wars Legion celebration panel, I guess, we won't talk about it for forever.
That's right.
We like that's enough breaking news for today.
We're so on the edge of the news, but that's definitely happening tomorrow. Right. So yeah, we'll be behind the eight ball again on this.
The edge is a little bit too sharp for us. We're scared. We're afraid. So we're just gonna avoid it.
But going places that you're not afraid. If you're not scared, you can go to the Imperial Academy Officer Candidate School or the IAOCS. We really need to work
that's
on our
so acronyms. Awful. That's so bad.
The Empire would have an acronym like that.
That's true. They would. That is like true. That. They would. This is the segment where we kind of say that you've got the basics down. You've gone through grunt school. You're an okay enough stormtrooper. But let's talk about different game concepts and things that you can do to really up your game to the next level. And I have a bit of a sore spot. When I went to Adepticon, I found out a place that I needed to up my game. And I can pretty much assure... say that I lost one game each day because of this. Maybe even both my losses on Saturday. And that's cohesion. I'm a fast player. If you guys who play with me all the time know this. If you've played with me at a tournament, you know this. I tend to try to play at a very quick pace to see how many turns we can get in that time frame. And a lot of times I just kind of cohesed my models, just kind of sticking them behind a barricade or throwing them somewhere and haphazardly placing them places. But what we kind of want to talk about today, and what I spent a lot of time on the 8-hour ride home from Adepticon thinking about, are ways that we can use cohesion to maximize our effect on the game, both offensively and defensively. So Sim, what are your thoughts on cohesion here? What have you got for the people?
I think it's important to remember how cover is measured, both to and from your unit. You know, an attacking unit leader draws a line from himself to each mini in the defending unit, the highest point in the model over the center of the base. That's the basics. You got to know that stuff. But if you then take that knowledge that you know and you set up your unit leader so he's in the open, but with room for your units to cohese into cover, and, you know, remember that each unit has to have line of sight to add its dice to the pool, you can really finagle your units in such a way that, you know, maybe your leader can't make it to cover all the way. That's okay. He might die, but get the rest of your units, especially your special weapons. If you have special weapons, protect them at all costs, because that's where your points went into. Put them behind cover. Put those guys into cover if you can, so you can kind of just shimmy your way up if need be, and really being aware of that. And again, I kind of echo what Ryan said. I'm really bad at doing that sometimes. I don't think about cohesion nearly enough. Ben, what do you think?
It's definitely one of those, you can play very defensively, like Tim said. You can get your guy out so that they don't get cover, but coming back at you because 50% rule, most of your models are in cover, and that's a very defensive way to play it. You can also play it very offensively. I went to a tournament once, and the guy was like, oh yeah, by the way, you know that you can have your leader move as far forward as he can, and then he can be out of line of sight. He can't see the models. But if you're still in cohesion and you throw the other bodies forward, and they're not out of line of sight, you can still shoot. So your unit leader may not have line of sight, but you measure range from him. And then you measure from each mini to see whether or not they can add their dice to the dice pool.
Right.
So maybe your unit leader doesn't shoot, but the other four guys in your Z6 are shooting.
Right. Now, granted, they might be in heavy cover.
Yeah, is there going to get heavy cover? Right. Because you draw line of sight. Those half the models from your unit leader are definitely obscured. You have line of sight from your other guys, but you are giving up heavy cover. But sometimes it's the shot you need to take. And if you got a weapon that has blast, who cares?
Well, and also it could be the difference between a heavy cover shot and no shot. And I'd much rather take a shot into heavy cover than no shot at all.
Mm-hmm. If you have enough models, it's definitely worthwhile. And a Z6, a Fleet Trooper, a Flamethrower, they don't care about that kind of stuff. Right. They throw enough dice to possibly get around it.
Yeah. I know the part where with me playing fast, one of the biggest things that I learned is I need to take my time. And I need to kind of look like I'm a golfer on a green and kind of bend at the knees a little bit, get my face down on the table and really see what all the firing lanes that my unit leader can see.
You don't play golf on a table.
Yeah. Bend down, take a peek at all your line of sight. Everything that you're going to have line of sight to and everything that's going to have line of sight to you. And then rearrange your cohesion as you need to. Keep your dudes close to each other. Now, when I say that, keep all your minis close to a buddy or to a friend, but they don't always have to be like bunched up next to the unit leader. You've got quite a bit of range to use. Be sure to use it, but try not to strand guys off by themselves because that's going to get you caught out more often than not. Hide people around corners if you don't need to add their dice to the pool and you want to make it easier for you to get the benefits of heavy cover, kind of like what Tim was just talking about, or if you just want to keep them 100% safe. You see a lot of players do this with their snipers to keep them alive a little bit longer. Use those large pieces of terrain to your advantage, but really take your time to see where all of those fire lanes are. Not just the ones you have and not just the ones your opponent already has, but all the ones that your opponent can take, you know, in the next action or two.
And it may be something that you're very casually playing. Like, you're like, oh yeah, he's definitely behind that wall, he gets cover. And so you and your buddies, you know, sitting around beer and pretzel style. But if you go to a tournament, sometimes you have to look, is Boba Fett's gun sticking out from behind this wall?
Yep.
Because if it is, then you can shoot Boba Fett. And you may not want to get shot at. That's right. You may have to angle it in such a way that his tiny gun or the fin of his head is unseeable. Depends on the where you're playing that these kind of rules come into effect. And if you're in the Imperial Officer Candidate School, you probably want to make sure that you're playing up to that level.
This is true.
And it's also good to do this kind of stuff even when you're at those casual games. Just to get, not to be, try to be a jerk to your opponent, but to just get in the habit of it.
Yeah, you got to get the practice in there.
Yeah, you got to get the practice of seeing these firing lines in.
Well, and then, you know, even tacking off of that, you can use the death of your unit leader to move a group up farther forward. And again, that's getting even more wonky with it. But you can place minis in cohesion in advance of your unit leader, but behind the line of sight and, you know, maybe behind some blocking terrain to where they can't see them. So then when they shoot, maybe they're shooting, but all they're going to kill is your unit leader, and all your minis behind the cover are safe, and one of them becomes the new unit leader. So then the next time you move, you can go even farther. Now, this could also work. I can see this working really well, especially with snows, depending on how you've kitted your snows and things, especially if you have the Emperor with them and things like that, where they're getting free moves, anything where they're getting free moves, because you do that kind of, again, shimmy them up there, let the leader die. Sorry about it. He volunteered. But then when it's time for them to move again, now they're farther up. Now they can get that range one shot right off the bat and they can flame. And, you know, they're going to be mad about their lost buddy. So they're going to hit you extra hard, but they can't because you played it like that.
I think this is really table dependent. And so your mileage definitely may vary. And I think also it's a thing that your opponent has to let you do. And so that's something you have to be wary of. A lot of times if I see that if I can only kill maybe one or two models and one of them's the unit leader and then he'll get to promote somebody else to be the unit leader and that puts them in a more advantageous spot, I may not shoot at that unit. I may try to go do something else. But if your opponent's going to let you do it and the map lets you do it, it can be definitely a cool trick.
It's a good place, say, against Leia with her coordinated bombardment. She wants to take the shot on something, and if you've got two minis out there, she's going to kill him. That maybe allow you to get that, you know, to promote forward and have that guy, you know, to kind of cohese a little bit better on an objective point or something like that.
And I guess the last tip we have with cohesion, and this one definitely screwed me twice that I can think about at Adepticon, is keep your heavy weapons in the center of the formation. A lot of times I'll try to get them all the way in the back or to the most fortified position on the wing or on the edge. But a lot of times what that'll do is it'll put them in a position like we talked about where only one or two models can get seen from an angle that you weren't thinking about. And then you just lost your DLT or you just lost your Z6 or you just lost your med bot.
That's right.
If you put those high value units, those high value individual models within an activation in the middle of your formation, there's going to be very few places where your opponent's going to be able to draw line of sight to just that one model, and it's going to really help protect them. I watched somebody lose every one of their DLTs.
Yes.
While there were still regular models left in the squad. It was on Endless's stream, and it was absolutely gross. So definitely keep your guys, your high value guys in the middle, and you'll keep them as safe as you can from getting just picked and parceled off.
Yeah.
Part of this is also when you're going to remove a unit, you've been shot, a mini is dead. Sometimes keeping a mini that is in range one of another group, for so many abilities like Guardian require you just to be range one from mini to mini, not unit leader to mini. And so you remove the guy that keeps you somewhere in the middle, at least keeps you at range of other units so you can still get tokens on them. You do those kind of things. Choosing the right mini to kill is part of that cohesion process.
Yeah. Right. And the other fun thing you can do, and this is once again, mileage may vary, is cohesion and rapid reinforcements. Starbursting everybody out to keep your opponent from being able to rapid reinforce places they want is a lot of fun.
That's fair. That's a good point, too.
Spread one unit's footprint. I'll usually, if I'm playing rapid reinforcements, leave just a 4 or 5 man squad in my back corner and spread them out as far as they can and put them in a place to where there's no place you can put whatever your opponent decided to put into reinforcements, fit those bases behind your rear flank and just spread guys out. That's fun.
Well, since we're wandering away from the Imperial Officer Candidate School, you know, soon we may have to go to a four-corner market with the coming of the Republic and the Separatists. But for now, let's go behind the scenes to the Imperial Corner, take a look at some new concepts, some new keywords we've got here, and they showed up on the Shore Troopers. Target X. When you are issued a command, take an aim token. Look at those Imperials and those aim tokens. It's like you have to use them.
I think it's amazing. I think it's great. Obviously for Imperials, you know, you get the extra, all those precise units. It's going to be great for that. Just capitalizing on that. Coordinated fire. Just going to, I think, even just heighten that even more. All those things. So I think it obviously plays into that Imperial corner. But also I think, you know, I know we don't know of any units yet that have it, but if any Rebel people should get it down the road, I could see it being really, really good for them because they already have such good action economy with their dodge tokens. So you get the never-ending dodge, you could have a free aim, and another action. And I think that's awesome.
But Rebels already get access to free aim tokens with the Fleet Troopers and Steady, and we see how much that has upchanged the metagame.
I'll still cheer for your fleets, bud. It's okay.
We didn't talk about it here, and we'll probably talk about it eventually, but there is the new Electro Binoculars that give you an extra spotter for some more aim.
So, Those are cool. That's going to be awesome under here.
Yeah, I think that is.
His model even comes with the binoculars on the model. Yeah.
It does.
But Target X, it's cool. Like, it's neat. It's not really my speed.
Well, it's because you play Rebels. You never take an aim token.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. And even then, it gives them an aim token at a time where they don't really need one. Because you don't need an aim token till your turn, while the Rebel version of the dodge token, that's great to have at the start of a round when you order them. But just having to give one of your orders to something, and like Tim said, yeah, it synergizes really well with Precise, but right now we don't have a unit that has both Target and Precise. So it's neat.
Yeah.
But they are going to be re-rolling those black dice, so it's a little bit better than the white dice, I suppose.
But Ryan, this is an opportunity where we can literally say, X is going to give it to you. I don't think we can pass that up. I don't think that can be overstated.
Oh man. He would use a pun.
Yeah, every time. Every time.
Well, on that disgraceful note, let's slink on down to the Rebel Caves. Well, really, it's the Republic Caves in this case, because we saw a great keyword on those clones, fire support. When another friendly unit is performing an attack, and this unit has a face-up order token, each mini in this squad may add his attack dice to that pool. If you do, flip your order token over. You can do this one fire support per attack. That's amazing. That is absolutely amazing. I need to throw all the dice at a thing, and if I can get enough dice in, we can possibly kill it.
Yeah.
once again, this podcast brought to you by the FFG Dice Pack. you got to go fast, man. If you really want your games to end quickly and you want to activate multiple units all at the same time, this is a great way to do it. I think to really take advantage of this concept that the Republic's going to be getting is you have to kit yourself with a variety of keywords. We know they're getting a Z6. We know they're getting a DLT. I really hope that they add some kind of keyword to the Z6. So you can take combinations of the two things to really get to stack your ability with fire support, to add a whole bunch of things into a single dice pool. I think the way this is going to go crazy is if you can get somebody with frag grenades to get fire support help from somebody else, to where you get to throw some frag grenades and then everything in the dice pool surges to crit.
Yeah, that'd be gross.
Finding neat ways to wombo combo is how you're going to make this really work and work well. I don't think just executing all your activations, bang, 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 real quick is necessarily going to be all that great, because it means you're not going to be able to respond as well to what your opponent does. But the other really neat thing you can do is you can avoid a rally step. If your unit's got some cover that they want to keep, or they might panic, or they might lose an action, you can just go ahead and have them fire support to where they flip their order token straight down right away without having to take that rally step. And that could be advantageous in a few places. So I don't know. It'll be a cool keyword that I'll be anxious to see how it works in practice. The main thing I really want to see is Obi-Wan with lightsaber throw get fire support from a clone squad.
Ooh, it is a ranged attack.
Yes.
So you'll get impact 2, pierce 2, critical 2, plus with whatever the clones have. It'll be really silly.
Now, I will say, because I didn't post the photo directly in front of Ryan and he didn't see it, don't tell us, internet, the Z6 doesn't have a keyword. It doesn't. But I will say okay. That the DLT has crit 1. Has critical 1. Yes.
Okay.
Which we'll talk about in just a second.
Yes. No, I like it. I like the fire support, rather. I think, like Ryan was saying, I think it's going to introduce some really, really cool combos. I think it's going to be really hard to... I think it's going to be really hard to theorize about. I think it's just something that's going to be... You got to put in your list and have it there. And then you're going to learn how to better use it once you're actually playing, which is most things, of course. But I think this in particular is really just going to depend on your map, how you're playing, what your objectives are, everything. But I think when it's going to work really well, it's going to be great.
I definitely think it's going to be, because you need to have lots of face-up order tokens. And so it's difficult to get that with the command cards that we have now. And so that'll be the thing. It's going to be managing your face-up tokens in the right way to do the extra shooty-shooty that you want to do. It's great that when it sets up, it's going to be very cinematic. It's going to feel really impressive when they do the things that they did in the Clone Wars cartoons.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So maybe around this time next year, or maybe Christmas, who knows, when we get the Republic Specialist Pack, and we can put a comms officer and HQ uplink on all of our clones, we can just roll the fire support out.
That's so good, but so gross.
Oh, God. So gross.
And really
so
expensive. Gross. It's not worth it. Don't do that, people.
It'll be
super expensive.
But what if it is worth it? But what if it is?
I mean, it could be. It could be. So with that being said, we've talked about it all show. Let's go ahead and bring it up. It is Critical X. Now, it could be a podcast that no one's listening to. It could be also be that. But it's also...
God. We do love you guys. We really do.
We do. We do love you guys. We do.
I gave y'all bourbon. Don't you forget it.
He means fun juice, kids. Just fun time juice. Well, it was water with extra flavors, kids. That's fine. Ha ha. Yay.
Exactly. A little aqua vitae. It's when you convert surges, you may convert up to X surges to criticals, which is fantastic. It looks like FFG's attempt to give you some surge, but not all the surges.
Yeah.
So to control the math behind the surges, they can give you a couple. Because there's nothing worse than rolling dice that surge and you don't have one.
Looking at you, AT-ST.
Exactly. Like, I kind of wish you could retroactively add a critical X to Vader, because that sounds like crit 2 would be something he would I would think he could do.
We could see it on a force power sometime. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe on a force power like that. But I really love it, because it allows you to surge, but not too much surge if you throw too many dice. It's a good balance with that. And right. So bravo, FFG. I like that keyword add-on.
Yeah, and I like it for... I really like it for all those times that we wish, like kind of like what we already said, for all those times we wish a certain unit could just convert a couple of surges to crits. Maybe not all of them, that's okay, but so many times it's been so clutch that if I could just convert two, I'd be happy. And, you know, I'm thinking a lot, again, as a Vader fan, I think a lot of Vader in this, of, you know, yeah. If there is some way we could add critical to him, critical two, critical three, you know, whatever, even just critical one, I'll take it. Just something where we have a little extra oomph to what is already a good dice pool. I think it can really help turn the tide. So again, I think it's good because you don't have to take it, but it could be really cool for future cards.
Going back to Obi-Wan, I mean, if you do a lightsaber throw with him, you get to choose the three dice.
Yeah.
It's going to be the red, red, black die.
Right.
Yeah.
So critical two is fantastic on Obi-Wan throwing that lightsaber around.
Exactly. So I just think of all the times when I really could have used some critical in there.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's going to give us a lot of variety, and I think it'll give us a lot of variables with how different weapons feel. It's kind of like Surge Light, if you want to call it that. I'm really anxious to see where this is going to go in the future, and I'll be anxious to see if we can get it on our Chance Cube sized dice as well.
Well, you know, I'm just saying, if the Gungans can get some kind of like oops-a-daisy X trait where you surge on a defense but only so many surges, I mean, you really, I would play a Gungan army. I'd play it right now.
Ben, you would play a Gungan army for free. It doesn't matter. We could
make some. Yeah, I really would. I was about to say.
We can make some cardboard Gungans for you. You'll play them. It's fine.
So what are we going to call, what are we going to call the keyword that Gungans are going to get where... they roll red defense dice, but blocks on blanks and lose people on surges.
Like, so is that the R2-D2 from Imperial Assault?
Yes.
Or blanks, yeah, also exactly count? It.
Yeah, blanks also count. But when Ben starts speculating, or in case me, on what the hell the Gungans are going to do, it is time for us to call it a relatively short but good episode. Thank you guys for spending your commute, your paint time, whatever, whenever it is you find time to listen to us. And until next time, I'm Ryan Slowoski, reminding you to watch the Episode 9 trailer over and over again.
I'm Tim Hannon, reminding you that I'm currently the best Stabcast member in the Invader League.
And I'm Ben Fowler, reminding you that Tim is the only Stabcast player in the Invader League.
Oh, shush now.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
And until next time, I'm Ryan Slowoski, reminding you to Biden write a daggum outro.
You didn't. I can't. No one reads the script.
I even made a so mention unprepared. Of it.
So unprepared.
How dare you? How dare you? Would you like to try again, sir?
Oh, absolutely, okay. Yeah.